Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I'm your host, Shane Bacon. This week's special episode with Golden State Warrior Andre Iguodala is brought to you by Ogio, the golf bag leader of leaders. If you're a golfer on the go, the Mutant Travel Bag by Ogio is a smart, smart move to ensure your golf clubs make it to your next golfing destination unharmed. With an oversized padded top compartment, your golf clubs won't feel the bumps of travel, and the oversized wheels make getting around an airport as easy as TSA pre-check. The Mutant fits both tour bags and stand bags without any issue, and two oversized pockets give you plenty of space for shoes. Check out the Mutant and the entire Ogio selection at ogio.com. And I also wanted to make sure you have the PGA Tour app on your iPhone, your iPad, or your Android. It's a great app to keep up with the course the tour plays each week. Live scoring, stats, play-by-play, all the latest news coming from the great team they have there at PGATour.com. If you don't have the PGA Tour app on your device, you can't truly keep up with the tour. Download it now and experience the PGA Tour the way it's supposed to be experienced. Well, the NBA playoffs are obviously in full swing, as you know, and it was very nice to catch up with a member of the Golden State Warriors, a former University of Arizona Wildcat that I may or may not have wrote an article about back in my college days, comparing him to Kobe Bryant as he decided to go pro. Also, of course, the 2015 NBA Finals MVP. And this is all before the playoffs started. Andre had a couple days off, and he was headed to the driving range, called in, and we had a great chat about just golf on the road, you know, golf in the NBA, players getting more and more interested in it, where he hopes he gets to play if they do go on and win this championship, as a lot of people expect them to do. Of course, not winning last year, winning the year before, got a chance to play Augusta National as kind of a gift after they won that 2015 finals. So he's a nut. He's a golf nut. He's got players on his team that love to play. I mean, everybody's heard the stories of Steph Curry and how good he is as a golfer. Andre expands a bit on that. Also talks about some of the people that have taken the game up and how much more interested the NBA players seem to be in golf now. You know, really MJ kind of being the guy that really got him going on it. And it was fun. I mean, Andre's a great guy, a very, very smart, smart player, and a very smart dude. So a great conversation, a great chance to catch up with really a guy that is going to be very influential in what happens with these Warriors as they move further and further along in these playoffs. So Andre Iguodala, the guest this week, possibly going to have another Clubhouse episode on Thursday with an interesting guest. We're working on that right now. So stay tuned. As I mentioned, check out ogio.com for some cool products. Download that PGA Tour app, and let's get to the guest. And we now welcome into the clubhouse the 2015 NBA Finals MVP. But way more importantly than that, Andre Iguodala is now a golf nut. Andre, would you say that's fair?
I would say that's fair.
Yeah,
I don't mind that.
Well, I mean, you have to tell people where you're at right now, what you're about to do after you finish this up.
I'm a multitask. I'm at the range, so I'm going to do both.
Well, I was going to ask you, I ask every athlete that comes on, every golfer and all that stuff, the same question to start the interview. So I'm going to ask you this. It's not a basketball day. You don't have a game. So what have you had to eat today?
Oh, I haven't had, not enough, not enough. I had some waffles this morning. I have a heavy plant-based diet. So
okay.
I had some oatmeal that wasn't good. So I only had like one bite of that. I had a shake. It was shake. It had kale, ginger. It was all types of green inside of it. It wasn't tasty, but it was healthy for me. And then for lunch, I had an Impossible Burger. I don't know if anyone knows about that.
Impossible Burger.
Impossible Burger. It's a company out of it's a startup out in Silicon Valley, and they made a burger. Yeah, and there's no beef in it.
Tastes like beef,
but it looks just like a burger. I mean, it bleeds like a burger. You can cook it like medium rare. It's crazy. So today was the first time I had it.
Oh, and you're all in.
It was pretty good. It's a little bit of soy in it, and it's got a little wheat, so it's not gluten free, and I'm gluten free. So that was like a cheat day, but it was pretty good though. I enjoyed it.
Nice. Well, you got drafted back in 2004. We actually went to University of Arizona at the same time, and I was looking up some numbers. And first of all, where the hell did time go? I can't believe it was 04 when you got drafted.
Yeah, time flies pretty fast. It was funny. I was just talking to some teammates about it. Like 13 years flies by, and then I'm the oldest guy on the team, and these young guys are looking at me like I'm crazy. So I was a young guy when I first got in the league, and now I'm the older guy, so it's kind of weird, and it happened so fast.
Yeah, it just flips. And, I mean, your regular season now is already kind of winding down. I mean, you're getting ready for playoffs, getting ready for, you know, I mean, the hardest part of your season, really. But I wanted to ask golf specific here. How often during the season are you able to get out and actually play? I mean, I know you're working on your game at the range right now, but how often do you get to play, like, 18 holes?
This year, not at all. Like, usually in the past 2 years, I played a lot. Past 3 years, I played a whole lot. But our schedule's been bad this year with scheduling, and then the West Coast got a lot of rain this year, which is good for the courses, but it wasn't good for my golf game in January and February where I used to play. So I only play like 4 rounds this year, and usually it would be like, I don't know, double digits by now.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you're a vet, so I was wondering if you circled certain cities knowing, you know, like Philly golf's amazing, you know, New York's got great golf. You know, when you go out to Long Island, even coming down to Phoenix where I live, do you circle these places and think, like, I'm going to throw my clubs on the plane as well?
Yeah, we definitely circle those cities. So we go to Miami. I took my clubs to Miami, Orlando. Depends on weather in Charlotte. Certain top golf cities, yep. I might bring my clubs. Phoenix is top golf. We go to Texas, it's top golf, and we might be able to sneak in around. If we don't play back-to-backs, you know, I play the Houston Golf Club. Haven't played in San Antonio yet.
Good golf there. Good golf in San Antonio. The Corey.
Good golf there, but I have there's a couple cities that we take our clubs to, though. L.A., we definitely take our clubs to L.A.
Yeah, I've read your best round came at Bandon Dunes at Old Mac. Is that still your low round of your career?
No, so I topped that at the Bandon course.
At Bandon Dunes.
Bandon Dunes. So at Old Mac, I shot an 83. It was par 71. Then that was 2015. So last summer, 2016, shot an 83 again, but par 72 on the Bandon Dunes course, so which is a tougher course. So I was really happy about that.
Do you get to go to Bandon much? I mean, San Francisco is one, you know, it's a pretty short flight. Do you guys go up there when you're kind of trying to get away?
It was summer. So the first time it was kind of Steph Curry had some guys and he invited me up. That was great. And then I have a group of golf buddies. I shouldn't say golf buddies. You know, they're my good friends. We do a golf trip every summer. And last year, in 2015, our trip was in the Bay. So we did Passy Tempo. I know you're going to ask me. That's my favorite course. Passy Tempo is my favorite course. And we did we did Spyglass, we did Pebble, and we did Spanish Bay. And then the next year, we went to Bandon, which is 2016. So that was our annual golf trip, and we do like a trip, teams, and it's a pretty good trip.
All right, I have to ask you, because everybody that goes to Bandon does this, give me your rankings of the four courses at Bandon from your favorite to your least favorite.
Ooh, my favorite courses at Bandon are, Bandon would have to be one. Old Mac is my least favorite because it's good. No, Trails is my least favorite.
Okay. So Pacific maybe two, or is Old Mac two?
Thank you. Pacific might be one.
Oh, jump
Pacific
in.
Pacific might be one. So, no, Bandon, Pacific, Mac, and then Trails. Trails is just crazy. Like, I don't know why I don't like Trails.
Yeah, it's a flip for me.
You're like dead by the time you get to, I think it's like 15, you have to walk something crazy. You have to take like a
little cart,
yeah. To the next hole. It's like kills you. And then I'm not playing well. I can never play there, so mentally I'm beat up.
What other destinations or other golf trip type of places have you guys circled that you want to check out or go play sooner than later?
Oh, that's a really good question. Other golf cities. Well, I think you have to do the rounds in Florida.
Right.
Where's the tourney in is it the Career Builder? Is that the Career Builder in California?
Yeah, in Palm Springs.
In Palm Springs. Palm Springs. I think Palm Springs would be a perfect trip.
Do you guys have your 17 trip plan yet?
We We do. I think it's in Wisconsin. I have to check that one again. I don't know why. I don't know that one.
Going up there to Kohler and Erin Hills and Sand Valley, that'll be awesome. We, of course, do the U.S. Open. I played Erin Hills. Make sure you play Black Wolf Run also when you go do that, because it is awesome. And of course, I mean, obviously Whistling Straits is good and stuff like that. But Sand Valley just opened up there, and I'm going to get up there next month and get a chance to play it. So it's the same band and Dunes ownership, so it's going to be, obviously, it's going to be great.
Yeah,
but
Mike Kaiser.
Yeah, Mike Kaiser.
And I actually play golf with him in the Bay. Mike Kaiser's a good guy.
How's the golf game?
He's not really into swinging the club. He's just into designing it. Good guy.
I like that. That's the nicest way you could put that, by the way. I'm impressed by that. Way to go. What's your golf game like? I mean, do you struggle off the tee, or you have a good short game? What's your golf game like?
Like right now, I'm decent. I'm good when I can play, like, when if I'm playing like three or four times a week, then, you know, by the time I get to that third week, my game's pretty locked in. I'm very, very long off the tee, but I spread a little bit. So either I'm far right or I'm far left. It's never consistently one of them. But when I'm striping it and I'm in the fairways and I'm, you know, I'm hitting pitching wedges and pitching wedges in, gap wedges in, and my game's pretty strong. But that's for anybody, though. So if I can get off the tee, I'm good.
Can you outdrive Steph?
I can outdrive Steph, but he's a much better driver than me because he's more consistent. Like, you know, I'll spread a little bit. Like, he's always, if he misses, he's still in the fairway. He just only hit it 260 and not 280. But I can hit it farther than him. But his game is just on another level, so I wouldn't even compare the two.
Can Steve Kerr play at all? I know he had the back issues, but I know he's a golf fan. Does he get to play at all anymore?
I've only seen Steve, like, pitch and, like, chip. I haven't seen him fully swing a club, but from what I hear, he's a really good golfer.
That's not surprising me. How many PGA Tour pros have you teed it up with over the years?
Tour pros. I played with Arnold Bonahary here in the Bay. Really good guy. He's got an easy game. Like, it's effortless. I like his game. And I played with Justin Thomas a few times.
He can move it pretty good.
Yeah, I still don't understand how he hits the ball so far. He's so little. He's a little guy, but he hits it far.
Yeah. Well, you're a big fan of the LPGA, right?
Yes. Yeah, I've had a chance to meet Lydia Coach Cantor practice, and my wife actually went to the Swing and Skirts event, which is at Lake Merced out here. But I wasn't able to attend that. I think we had practice that day. But I'm a big fan of watching later. They're more fundamentally sound, so if I had the copy of Swing, I think it would be better to watch him than the guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny because I feel like if you can get people, especially men, to an LPGA event and actually watch them in person, I mean, it's unbelievable how fundamental they are and how consistent they can hit the golf ball. I mean, they rarely, if ever, miss a fairway. I mean, can you imagine playing golf where you're in the fairway on every single hole?
Right, and they hit the ball farther than people think, too. Like, Ariana Jatagi, I can't even pronounce her name. She's number two in the world right now, but she hits the ball far. Like, she doesn't even use the driver half the time. Kind of has the Rory effect.
Yeah, we
get it out there.
I caddied for an LPGA friend of mine and a couple of pro-ams back in the day, and it was so funny. About the third hole, all the guys in the group were trying to swing out of their shoes because they were trying to keep up with her. Because, as you said, it's consistent, it's simple, yet, I mean, it'll go 265 or 270, and then everybody there, I mean, they can't hit a 270, so they're trying to swing as hard as they possibly can.
Yeah, and their short game, which all pro short games are, they're getting up and down. You know, they're not chipping it or duffing it and then chipping it again and then two-putting. You know, they're getting out of trouble pretty easy too.
Is there any mental correlation that you see between playing basketball and playing golf?
I think so. You know, and I take a look at somebody like Klay Thompson, who's a perfect example. And it's like forgetting about what happened previously. Like, if you hit a bad shot, just forgetting about it and moving on. And that's an issue that I had before. I've worked on a lot, is forgetting what happened in the past. And that's what makes Klay Thompson such a great shooter. Like, Klay Thompson will miss six straight shots, and he'll come down and shoot a crazy 30-footer and be the most confident shot you've ever seen him take, because he doesn't remember missing the last six, and he'll make it. and he approaches every shot like that. But he remembers when he's hot.
Yeah, he doesn't forget that.
Like, when he's hot, he won't forget that. But that's what makes him, when he go down as one of the greatest shooters of all time, because his mental, that mental side of his game is that strong. And I think that gets, you know, people don't see that. And that's the same in golf. You know, you miss a shot, it's like, move on to the next. You know, don't try to be a hero. Get out of trouble. And, you know, stick to your swing, your good swing thoughts and good swing fundamentals, and, you know, try to make the next solid shot.
Yeah, somebody said Dustin Johnson right now is playing Forrest Gump golf, which I really like that, because it's, as you said, you just kind of forget what's going on, go out there and hit the next shot. And obviously whatever he's doing right now is working. Is anybody else on your team besides Steph a golfer? I mean, have you guys talked these other guys into playing?
Clay actually can play. I've seen Clay play a few times, play with him. Clay is really good. Like, I'm better than Clay right now, but if he played as much as I did, he'd be much better than I am. You know, all those shooters can play. You know, if you look at all the guys who play golf in the NBA, all of them are pretty good shooters, and the better shooters are the better golfers. And Clay would be really good. He just doesn't have it to play 18. Like, he'll get to like 11 holes and then he'll go play with his dog. He's really good friends with his dog, so he just can't play 18 holes.
Well, you said you guys do Topgolf a lot. If you go to, like, say you go to Scottsdale Topgolf, I mean, is 6-7 guys from the team going, or is it just the golf-specific guys that are going and doing that?
More so the golf guys. Like, we might get one or two guys sneak out. They're like, hanging out. But, like, Johnny West, who works in our front office, Jerry West's son, he's a really good golfer. He's with us. And then we have a few coaches who play. You know, they got film to study, but I think our about four of our coaches, four guys on the coaching staff plays, and they're all pretty good golfers as well.
Well, the schedule doesn't allow you to play at Pebble Beach in the AT&T Pro-Am, but I was going to ask, the moment you decide, you know, to hang them up and be done with basketball, how quick are you going to be on the phone calling to get a spot at that event?
That event sounds like a lot of fun. And I think it's a lot of fun. Like, they say when you're done playing, people kind of forget about you. They don't remember you as much as when you are playing. But I think there's a beauty behind that in golf, because, you know, not too many people are expecting too much from you. Because I played in the Tahoe last year. I played in a celebrity event, and, you know, coming off our run last year, everyone's expecting me to be just as good of a golfer as I am a basketball player, which is far from the truth. So it's like you're nervous out there. So being retired and playing golf in that event would be fun. Plus, I wouldn't get too many people expecting me to shoot under par.
Well, when you stood on that first tee in Tahoe, and you've got human beings on both sides of the fairway, where were your nerves at? I mean, how nervous are you to stand there and hit this golf ball, knowing you have hit a couple foul balls before that might take somebody's head off?
See, the first tee there isn't that bad. So the first hole is actually the 10th hole. They just say reverse it. So, I mean, you can go left, but left is water. So I just try to aim left and hit a cut and just try to make solid contact. Like, I don't even swing out of my shoes. It's like, just make contact. Just hit the ball.
Yeah. It's nerve-wracking playing in front of people. Do you feel like over the years since you've got into the league, basketball has become a lot more popular with NBA players?
You know what? That's a good question. I think golf has always been a big sport for basketball players. When, you know, go back to, you know, Michael Jordan and, you know, Bill Russell even played a lot. There's this little driving range in the valley in L.A. where I would see Jim Brown there a lot. So I think it's just a sport a lot of, you know, athletes, professional athletes, can get away, can get outside, get some sunshine, and not think about, you know, the madness of their job. And I think that's what it kind of brings, the peace and the calm that all the athletes can really appreciate.
Well, when you won your championship with the Warriors a couple of years ago, your prize, if you will, was to get to play to Augusta National. Has Steve talked to you guys at all about where you would get to play if you guys go and do it this year?
I mean, we would pick Augusta again.
Take me back.
I mean, that's just and the funny thing is that you know, we learned that we have to be careful about saying if we ever get a chance to play there again. You know, we're the guests of members, and the members will be in a little bit of trouble. So we had to be careful of that. But it's such a great experience. The place is unbelievable. They treat us so well. You know, I would go there every year. There are a few places that I haven't played that I would love to play, but that place is on another level.
Well, what I was going to ask is, what's the number one on your list of places? Have you got to Scotland yet? Have you gone over there and done that?
I haven't got to Scotland yet. Steph's been over. He told me about it. He loved it. He enjoyed it. I haven't played Cyprus here. Surprising. I was supposed to play it. I just haven't had the opportunity. Up by Pebble.
Right.
And other courses. And Shinnecock I haven't played. And I heard a lot of good things about Seminole. So I got a few places I want to cross off my list.
Is there a favorite road city for you when you go on the road? You know, I mean, you've been everywhere. I mean, you've done all this. Is there one place that you get more fired up than others when you get to go on the road?
As far as golfing?
Yeah, as far as golfing and just visit it. I mean, is there a place that you know that is going to be a fun couple of days when you get to go there?
I always enjoy L.A. because the weather's great. And I know I get around and golf in. I have a few friends that spread out in LA from Orange County to LACC to Bel Air. I know I can get a solid round of golf and being around good people. So LA is one, and I mean Florida's hard to beat too.
You just like when the weather's nice is what you're saying, basically.
As long as the weather's good, I'm good.
No double jackets, you'll be fine. If you got to caddy for a pro golfer in an event, which pro would you pick? You could pick anybody.
Oh, that's a good one. I'm a fan of a lot of golfers. My favorite golfer is Rory.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a Nike guy, so, you know, I'm looking to see, like, you know, some shoes and, you know, what's the latest Nike gear coming out. I'm always looking for that. And I think he has kind of that aura about himself. Like, he kind of has it.
Right.
On and off the course, the way he carries himself. He has a dominance about himself. When he's locked in, it's pretty hard to beat him. DJ's playing out of his mind right now. I think Rory, he'll snap his major drought this year. He'll get a major or two this year. So I would probably I would caddy for Rory.
Have you got a chance to hang out with Rory a little bit at all?
No, I haven't had a chance to. I followed him in the match play, the WGC match play when it was at Hardin Park.
Okay.
I think it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years
so
ago.
So I got a chance to follow him for a couple of holes, and I got a chance to just watch him. And that's when I saw his walk, like, you know, the way he walked the fairways and, like, his he kind of walked like a basketball player.
Yeah, he's got the bounce.
He had a purpose for it. Yeah, he's got that bounce wherever he goes. And but that's why I like DJ, because DJ's like the opposite. DJ's like, I'm going to hit it down there real far, and then, you know, you'll see me when you see me when I get to the ball. And then, he's worked on his wedge game, and he hits it close every time, and then, you know, he'll put it in. So
yeah, a little
DJ's
different.
DJ's the opposite, but a good opposite.
Yeah, it's a different approach. When you watch DJ, it's so lethargic and it's so relaxing that you forget that the guy can hit it, you know, 365 off the tee with no wind and no downhill. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and DJ, people forget how tall he is. You know, the taller you are, the farther you can hit the ball because you can get more width. So he's hitting the ball over the place. I mean, just straight and that long fade. It's hard in a long fade. I still can't figure that part out.
Well, you just got it. Like you said, I love what you said when you played in the event. You said, I'm going to aim left and try to cut it. That's basically, I feel like that's the easiest way to just at least play that shot. I mean, if you hit it on the upswing and take a little bit of the spin off it might go pretty far. But as you get closer and closer to possibly being done with basketball, I'm not saying anytime soon, but as you get closer and closer, do you feel like you'll stay in the area you're at, in that San Francisco area? And I mean, it's got some of the best golf in the country, really. People don't understand that. Do you feel like you'll stay out there over the years and set up shop?
My family likes it here. You know, my wife loves it here. My son loves it here. So it's a possibility. The guys have some great connections up here. Played there's some great courses in San Fran as well as in the East Bay. But you know, you got SF Club, you got Cal Club, you got Olympic. I love TPC Hardin Park. That's a great course. So you got a lot of great courses out here.
Yeah, I think Olympic is one of my favorites. I just like to eat the. I mean, you said you don't eat meat, but the the dogs they have there, the hamburger hot dog thing is unbelievable. That's a
cheat day. I have a heavy plant based diet, but I eat meat every once in a while. Okay. But that burger going out is amazing.
you can't pass that up, Andre. I appreciate the time. Have some fun at the range, and we'll catch up with you soon. Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that will do it for this episode of The Clubhouse. Many thanks to Andre Iguodala and getting that whole setup. I know he was very, very busy. Of course, any of these players during the season have a lot going on. So nice of him to take a few minutes away as he was preparing to hit some range balls and working on that golf game, trying to lower that handicap, as we all are. If you're still listening, I mentioned last week my club championship was this week. I didn't win. I shot 72-74. I think I finished three shots back. There was a playoff. 143, I believe, ended up winning it, which is kind of crazy. I mean, Dobson Ranch, where I'm a men's club member at, not the hardest of golf courses. I actually had the interesting and unfortunate putt that hit the cup liner yesterday and popped back out at me, went to tap in for actually a bogey on the sixth hole, and it, you know, probably 8 inches away, and it hit the cup liner and popped back out. And I said to myself, I even wrote it on Twitter, you know, it's probably not your week when that happens. I also made three doubles. Goodness gracious, that is not good. So I'll have to, much like Rory McIlroy and plenty of these players, I have to wait another year, like they do at Augusta National, another year to hopefully one day potentially be club champion. I'll also say this. You know, you've heard me talk about being a mini tour player and doing that back in the day. Grinding out there for two straight days for 4.5, 5 hours, and you're mentally exhausted and you're trying to keep it together and not screw anything up. And I had a little bit of a comeback on Sunday. Man, that is a hard, hard thing to do. I do not envy any of these guys trying to do it. I mean, you heard our conversation with Stuart Hagestad about, you know, playing professional golf versus enjoying amateur golf. I'm very much on the side of just enjoying amateur golf. This is supposed to be fun. I feel like I was just in a mental battle for two straight days. I was laughing about it last night with my wife about how this is supposed to be fun, yet I feel like I was just the entire time grinding. So I do not envy any of you out there that are still doing this. You guys are a lot tougher mentally than I ever have been and ever will be. A reminder, check out Ogio.com if you're in need of a new golf bag. Ogio makes the best bags in the business, including the Ozone Stand Bag. Their shock suspension straps make carrying more comfortable, and the 9.5-inch wood top with full-length dividers allow you to keep your clubs in the right spot and stay organized while trying to fire a career number. Ogio's Ozone Bag has all the pockets, insulated water bottle holder, and much, much more to make playing golf easier before you even hit your first tee shot. Visit Ogio.com for their entire golf bag line. Hope you guys are having a great week. I am fired up for this Zurich Classic. I think it's going to be super fun to watch these two-man teams. If you haven't seen a full list, it was in the latest newsletter, so make sure you subscribe to that. Jason Day and Ricky Fowler paired up together, Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson. There are a lot of huge names at this event. I mean, the San Antonio event is what it is. It's you know, it's going to be a smaller field in the sense of notable players. It was a fun finish with Kevin Chappell winning, but this one's going to be a must-watch, not just for golf fans. I feel like sports fans will pay a bit of attention getting to see these two-man teams and just see how this plays out. I feel like this is where we're going. I feel like we're going to see more of this across all tours because, you know, when you think about the Ryder Cup is exciting, and we love watching the Ryder Cup. And so how can you piggyback on that? How can you piggyback on the success of something like that? And I feel like this is the start. So the Zurich Classic this week, as I mentioned, a full list of those names on our newsletter on Monday. If you haven't subscribed, make sure you do that. You can go to my Twitter page, at Shane Bacon. The link is right there at top. So sign up and subscribe. You'll get news on Mondays and Wednesdays. I'm pushing the newsletter back a little bit. I'm going to do noon Eastern, 9 a.m. on the West Coast. So basically noon Eastern means you've got to work on Monday, you've knocked out some emails in the morning, right around lunchtime, you get back to your computer, now you've got a chance to catch up on what's gone on over the weekend. And if you're a West Coaster, you get it in the morning as well. So changing the times a little bit for that, just to give people a little bit of a different feel, especially if they are subscribed to other newsletters. And so I hope you enjoy that. If you don't like it, shoot me a tweet or something, let me know, and maybe we'll change it back to an earlier time on the East Coast. Hope you guys have a great week. Let us know any and all feedback at the Clubhouse Pod on Twitter. And follow us on Facebook, Shane Bacon Golf. We've given some stuff away, and we're going to keep giving it away over the next few weeks. Hope you guys have a lot of fun. Get out and play maybe like a quick 9 holes. It's getting nice. The weather's nice right now. Play 9 holes before work, maybe on a Tuesday or Wednesday, and we will catch up with you soon.